Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. I tell my embarrassing stories. Katie tells her embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. It's embarrassing all around. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week, Katie?
Okay, I'll go first because you went first last.
Thank you.
Yeah, just in the throes of it. We're doing two back-to-back because next weekend I'm going to Big Bear. I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun.
It's like a campaign.
It's a fishing tournament. Well, they invited me, but it's like a fishing tournament.
Amazing.
I guess they like have tagged trout that you try to get, and it's like a $50,000 competition. But
wait, you win $50,000 if you pull up the right trout?
I think, there's like five, like 10,000 trout. So it's like there's a 50,000 like total, but yeah, there's like, yeah. But it's pretty hard to find a tagged trout in a sea of trout, you know, out there.
Oh yeah.
But Mirage has never been fishing. Sebastian's never been fishing. So it will be their first time, which is so cute. And I'm like, what if you guys on your first time, you catch that trout?
Can you imagine? And I feel so bad for those trout. Cause they're just like, oh shit. Like,
they don't know what's
up. How do you catch one in a Big Bear lake? I mean, they're just in there. And they're marked.
It's the luck of the draw.
It's so fun.
I know, it's so fun. Wait, I'm really excited about it.
Are you going to rent a boat or do they give you a boat?
They give you a boat.
What?
And yeah, it's going to be really fun. Like the hotel looks awesome. The food looks awesome.
I'm so excited
about it. I'll definitely fill you in when I've actually done everything.
Yeah, next week. Absolutely.
But we're open house is happening right now as we speak. I'm just excited to see who is going to be the new buyer of our home. We close on our home in Maryland on the 20th. And yeah, I am fully designing things in my head and trying not to buy all the things out here. Cause I'm like, no, I've got enough to already pack at this point. But of course, I keep seeing things on Facebook Marketplace that are amazing, that are like big pieces of furniture. Like I cannot stop finding couches. I'm like, I don't need to deal with a couch, another couch to move.
Right.
But I just keep finding the most amazing pieces and having to be like, okay, stop, look away.
Yes, look away.
Not for you right now. You're going to find more pieces there that you're not going to have to transport
there.
That will be a nightmare.
Well, you'll be happy when you find them there and then you like didn't bring these ones.
Exactly.
That you found.
Yeah. It's a
lot. Well, and you have a big place. Like it's a big place you're going to.
Place.
So I mean your place is big now, but it's
it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's
and then
very
like, even
tiny.
Bigger.
Yeah.
So
it'll be nice to have space.
Bring everything.
Bring all the things. Yeah.
And just fill it up.
I have no problem with that.
Yay.
My maximalist style.
So good. I can't wait to see
how was your week?
I mean, good. I just
What are you watching?
I just started the Studio.
Oh, the Studio is so good. I already binged it.
I
binged the whole thing.
I'm obsessed with the Studio.
It's really funny.
I think it's maybe one of my favorite shows that I've ever seen.
It's hilarious.
I have not been this excited since I watched Mad Men, which I love Mad Men. But this is so different.
You know, I still never watched that. Isn't that crazy?
So good.
Yeah, people love it.
I don't know if it stands up, but it's good.
It's maybe a little problematic.
It's maybe a little bit of a problem. It was a womanizer. But I love the Studio. And John and I have been watching it, and we're going to watch it again tonight. We're going to probably finish it tonight. I just love it. Everything about it. The way it's shot, the way it's written, the way Bryan Cranston is ridiculous.
In like the last two episodes, he is ridiculous.
Well, who's the girl? Catherine Hahn.
I love her.
She's killing it.
She's so funny.
You know, she's basically.
Everybody
not
said
real.
That she is the person that made them break on that show, like break character and just die laughing. She's so fucking funny.
So
I love her.
Funny. And Seth Rogen.
I love everything she does. Yeah. Seth Rogen is great in that role.
Yeah. It's almost like it's a weird, like if Quentin Tarantino were funny.
It's so cringy. The best way. Like he's like doing
Office.
The same like Steve Carell Office. Yeah.
Yes.
Like he's playing that character that you love to hate. That you're just like, oh my God, and hate to love. You're like, oh, they're so cringy. They want so badly to be liked by everyone, you know?
And I read that he said this could be career suicide for him because he's, basically picking on the heads of studios, which a lot of them, in my opinion, they're not doing great things, you know?
But is that true? I know I was like watching this and I'm like, is that true that the heads of studios really don't get thanked and they don't get that recognition and it is people trying to like kick them out of there? Like, is that true? You would think people would be kissing their asses and be
they are for the wrong reasons, like in the show, like, oh, like, you know, can we get a jet? Can we get the song placed in our movie?
Like, right. But they're also like to their faces, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
So
yes,
I'm like, is that realistic? I mean, it must be. They've had enough time behind the scenes to see what's going on.
Well,
but
that's
what's
so cringy about it is that like you can't say that to the head of a studio. You can't be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Unless they do what Seth Rogen does. But, I bet when they're on the set, they're the gods. I mean, they're the people who can crown you, you know, and,
yeah,
and give
you, would think,
anything you need.
But it was funny. It was fascinating.
Oh, so good. Yeah, so that's what I'm watching. So we have a caller for the first one, and she is a friend from high school. She's one of the funniest people that, I mean, I can still remember her in high school, and she cracked me up so much. And she's a thrifter, Katie. She's an amazing,
I love
thrifter.
It.
Without further ado, let's call up my friend Lauren.
Let's talk to her.
Here we go.
I can't wait to hear her story.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Hello.
Lauren. It's Mary Kate and Katie with the Date Red Podcast.
Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. And I'm so happy you're doing this. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
I said in my intro, you are one of the funniest people I've ever met. Okay. And I'm so happy.
Am I allowed to swear or no?
Yes, you are.
Please do.
Everybody. Please. Okay.
It's encouraged.
Oh, shit. I feel like this is...
A lot of pressure?
A lot of pressure, guys.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you
so
much.
From Wisconsin.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she's from Wisconsin. Like, you're in the middle of your Saturday night, huh? I'm thank you for just putting everything on.
I mean, it is 6 p.m., and I am a middle-aged lady, and so it really is
to the end
time. So I am really tired.
At 7 o'clock tonight, I will be down for the count.
The sun setting for the next 3 hours, and I may go to bed soon. That's okay.
You have your alarm clock set for sundown.
I do.
Oh, that's bedtime.
Yeah. No, I feel like a gremlin. I feel like I
No.
Before the sun sets. Is that part of gremlins? Is that?
Yeah, I think they have to be. Yeah, they can't have the sun, right?
They have to be. They can't. Oh, they can't. Can they not see the sun, or they can't? I need to watch that again.
I haven't watched it in a while.
That's
I know they can't have water.
You
can't get water on them.
You can't get water.
Oh, they can't eat past midnight.
They can't eat past midnight. That's
the one. They can't eat past midnight. You're right.
What was the
third
one?
Yeah, they're not vampires.
I don't know.
There is a third one.
Yeah, there was a third one. I feel like maybe it does have to do with the sun. Who knows?
We all got to watch it again. Let's have a movie club. Okay, Lauren, are you ready to tell us your story?
I am. I will. I was thinking about a story to tell. I know, it's okay. You know, I feel like I've done a lot of embarrassing things in my life, and some of them were totally my fault, trying to be cool or funny.
It happens.
That's how everything starts, honestly. It comes from a good place.
Out of deep-rooted insecurities, and...
It comes from trying, honestly. Embarrassment comes from trying.
I like that reframe.
Just don't try, ever.
Just never try, and you're good. You're coasting.
Yeah, I was just trying on different personalities, trying things on, trying on, like, being wild and weird. But this is what happens. So I'll kind of set the stage for how this, like, the story came about. When I was 21, I moved to Madison, Wisconsin, just for a summer, and I was taking classes so that I could graduate on time, because I had taken a semester off the year before. And so I came to Madison, Wisconsin. My college in California did not have summer school. So I was like, okay, I live in Chicago. Madison is close. This will be fun. I know some people there. I was a painting major, so I took art classes. It was like, Madison is a great place in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it was just like super fun to take classes. Like, I lived in a house with a bunch of other fun people, and I met a couple of guys that summer, and I was dating, and I was just having like a really great time. And two guys I was dating, one of them I really liked, and the other one was meh. But the one I really, really liked, he was...
Heartbreaker.
I know. I was a heartbreaker in the summer of 2001. And then totally nothing for 20 years. Just kidding. But 2001, right before September 11th, was like truly my time.
Magic
shine.
Hour.
It was a magic hour for the world. And then
yes, it was.
Everything fell apart.
Oh my God.
But
no.
So I... We were getting along. We had such a great time together. But, you know, summers have to come to an end. And he had just graduated from college, and he was moving to New York City to, like, make it in the publishing world.
Yes.
At, like, 21 with a dance belt and a tube of chips, fresh off a destroyer. And I was going back to college. And I could tell that he was kind of pulling away from me in the last weeks before the end of the summer. And I was getting really insecure. I mean, you know, it happens, but we all know that feeling, right?
Yes. Like, dude, did we live the same life that happened to me in 2001 too? Same thing.
Really?
The summer romances. Oh, yeah. But I was moving out here. Yeah. And it was like the same kind of thing where you like feel that pull away.
Yeah. You can like feel it. Yeah. And you know that they're like, oh yeah, he wants his freedom in New York. Like, this is over. And I was sad. And nobody had the words or like the emotional tools to talk about it.
That wasn't a thing.
That wasn't a thing in the in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Nope. We didn't do that. So, 20s, sure. so we drank instead. And so we were at a party. I was at a party with him. And what I would do when I would feel really insecure, particularly around men, was to just get really, really drunk and like
me too. Hashtag
really
me too.
Stupid. Yes. No, and yep, I thought same. I was the funniest.
It
and
helped
I thought
a little
I was
bit.
The greatest. Yes. So I started to get really drunk. I was feeling insecure. You know, he was pulling away, so he wasn't like around me at this party and like not being really affectionate. And so I just kept kind of looking at him and getting drunker and drunker. And then, you know, trying to like be cool around him, trying to be funny. And then some guy, I forget if I knew him or not. He was at the party and he was also being weird and funny. And he was like, he had a can of cat food in his hand and he was like wet
at
cat
the
food.
Bar.
And he's like at the party. This is a house
it's
party.
A house party.
Oh, okay.
This is a house party. And he was like, hey, somebody needs to eat this can of cat food for $50.
Oh my God.
Like, let's all pool money. And I immediately was like, I will eat this can
I'm
of cat
that
food.
Girl. I am that girl.
You just have $50. Your
hand. I got you.
$50 is a lot.
Back then, hey, that was
back then, inflation. It was a lot.
That was like $1 million.
Guys, yes. But what was really going through my mind was, I am the coolest person in this party.
Yes.
I can do anything. This guy is going to be like, this woman is wild, carefree.
He's going to rip up his plans again.
Like, this is the kind of woman that I will wait for after I go to New York.
Yes.
Like, we will, you know.
I love your logic. And so, we've all been there. We've all been there.
That was the logic in my head. And so people gathered around me, including this man. And I started to eat this wet can of cat with a spoon. I did it. I remember somewhat, like, kind of remembering the taste. I just remember the, like, the texture of it.
Was it, like, the regular ground pasty kind? Or was it, like, fancy feast with, like, the little bits?
Yeah, it was, like, a fancy feast.
Oh, that's better. That's
and
better.
And I ate the whole thing. And they were, like, chanting my name. And
this is like
I
a cake stand, but like cat food. This is like, this
was,
is so cool.
Cake stand
like,
for cat food.
Cake stand for cat food.
And I got, you know, a bunch of crumpled like ones, fives, and tens afterwards.
Hot.
And I got $50. And I, it was disgusting what I did.
No, it wasn't.
I knew it was disgusting, but I looked up and that man that I, you know, really just wanted to win the heart of.
He leaned in for a kiss.
Was just, he would not say goodbye to me.
Damn it.
And he left like pretty much right after that. Like I saw him for a second and then he left.
He was disgusted with the cat food.
He was disgusted by me. And I was disgusted by myself and absolutely embarrassed.
Lauren, you know
the
what?
The epilogue of the story. Okay.
Yes.
So I was in Madison in the summer of 2001. Between 2001 and 2015, I lived in California. I lived in Chicago. I lived in Boston. I lived in India. And then I lived in Chicago again. And then I moved to Madison just completely randomly in 2015. And guess who was back in Madison?
Oh my gosh. Shut
up. When I got there. This man.
This man.
Yes. And
what happened?
He's now married to a woman he met in New York
after
the cat food incident, which totally makes sense. Like, he was like, I'm never going to talk to this woman again.
No.
Just kidding. But, and he has a beautiful daughter, and we have become friends, and he's very cool.
Well, that's
and
good.
He has never brought up this cat food story.
He never
brought it up.
You never talked about it ever again?
We've never talked about it. What? We have like many mutual friends. We have
talked to each other.
We like Instagram message all the time.
Oh my God.
So you never like talked to him after the cat food incident until you saw him again in Madison?
We were Facebook friends and we would sometimes like Facebook message each other, but nobody ever mentioned the cat food story. And that was like the last time I saw him.
You were full on dating. And then he just left.
Yeah. They just left.
Yeah.
He got the ick in that second.
But you know what?
It's not her fault. I mean, it happened. Done beforehand. I think what I did sealed the deal.
I have to say,
I've done so many dumb things like that that I fully relate and understand to it. Yeah. And in the moment, it sounds like a good idea when you're blackout drunk. And then you're like, what the fuck did I do?
We have talked about this extensively on this podcast. We've told our stories where we've done that. And honestly, Lauren, you're here to me in this story. And I'll tell you why. Because you didn't go like quietly with the night. No. You fought. What is it called? You raged into the morning light.
I raged against the
calming,
the machine,
the
machine.
Something of the light. Was this like a slouching
the dying
force
of the light? I believe it's Dylan Thomas. And I
is this like William Yates? I don't know.
This was her rebellion, the cat food rebellion.
But you did it. And you know what? You know what? He might have like, you know, kicked off to the Greyhound station with mud on his boots.
What? I love the rhetoric that we all told each other as women when we were in our 20s.
It's not you.
He was too intimidated by you. Yep. He was just intimidated
You were too fierce for him, he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, he just like couldn't handle how beautiful and amazing you were.
Period.
100%.
Yeah, that's what I still want to believe.
Or he might have turned him on and he left because he's like, I cannot go back. Okay.
What if he has a cat food fetish now?
I wish he made out with you with the cat food mouth and then left. That would be even better.
Open kissed you, like open tongue kissed you.
Our last time together.
Salmon flavored kisses. For the last time.
Salmon.
Fancy Feast.
Lauren.
Fancy Feast.
That's the name of it. That is the name of this movie. Fancy Feast. And then it ends with you just making out on the dance floor to some song. I don't know what it is.
Getting frisky to Friskies. Yeah,
something with like a cat. Like a cat euphemism, Jellicle cats. From cats.
Oh my
God.
Right.
Like memory.
Lauren,
meow, 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 meow. I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
You're the best.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
I'm
going
to be calling
that.
You tomorrow to catch up even further.
I would love it. Okay. I want to talk to you.
Have a great Saturday night. Enjoy it. And thank you so much.
You too.
All right, guys.
Good afternoon.
Talk to you soon.
Love you.
Okay, love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
So good.
Such a good story.
We've all been there.
Eating cat food.
Okay. My first one is anonymous. And let's hear it. I'll preface this by saying I'm usually not a stupid man, but I was at the end of my third 16-hour shift in a row, and I was very tired.
Ugh.
I'll make this quick. I got off work, went out to my car, hit the button for the doors on my remote unlocker as usual. Nothing happened. I tried it a few more times. Battery must be dead. I stood there for 10 minutes, mashing the little button, hoping for enough juice to open the doors. Nada. I called a locksmith, explain I'm locked out of my car. He says he'll be right over. 20 minutes later, he arrives. He walks up with his tools, inserts a thing that looks like a blood pressure cuff into the door jamb. He starts making conversation as it inflates, pushing the door open. So, you locked your keys in your car? No problem, sir. I'll have it open in a minute.
Nice.
No, my keys are right here. My key fob's dead, I replied. He stopped and stared at me for about 10 seconds. Didn't say a word. He sees my keys in my hand, takes them from me, inserts the key into the lock, and opens the door. I was mortified. I was so in the habit of opening the doors with my remote fob, I entirely forgot that keys could be used to unlock cars manually.
That is so funny.
He started laughing so hard, I thought he was going to have an aneurysm. After he stopped laughing, he told me there was no charge. The story he'd have to tell was worth the drive.
That's a good person right there.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, so funny.
But we've all had this brain fart, like dumb moments where you're just like, but I love that he literally fully forgot. And he didn't even have the kind where it's like inside the key fob. That's what I was picturing, you know, where you have the key inside the key fob and it comes out. Like he just had keys and a key fob and like fully forgot that he had like a car key that worked for the car.
Oh my God. That is really funny and so easy to do.
Out.
Oh, I need to wait for the locksmith.
He's like, yeah, dumb. Yeah,
so I like that he stared at him for 10
seconds. He's like, are you fucking for real
right
now?
We're doing this.
Are you for real?
That's so good. That's so
let me
good.
Show you how keys work, sir.
Yeah, let me show you. Let me show you how people did it for 100 years or more. Okay, so this is anonymous. And Anonymous writes, I had just started a new job and was sent to NYC to meet with some of our important clients. We took them out to a certain 3-star Michelin restaurant for dinner. Everything was going well. We ate well. We drank well. And when we wrapped up, we all piled into a cab to head back to our hotel. As we snaked our way through NYC traffic in a cab, I could feel a rumble in the jungle.
Oh, no.
A hot pain in my gut. I started to sweat. I clenched. Oh, God, did I clench. The worst part, I was in the middle seat. We were only about four blocks from our hotel, and I just let out a yell. Stop! The cab driver slams on the brakes, and I jump over my female coworker. How I avoided shitting my pants by doing this, I have no idea. He jumped over her while clenching his butt cheeks. That's Olympic stuff.
Just in the middle of the street.
Just in the middle, yeah, and said, stop. And then so he then ran down the street to the first open door I could find. Inside, there were a bunch of dudes renovating a restaurant. I asked if I could use the men's room. This one guy started to say no, but then his face kind of just went neutral as he saw the desperation in my eyes. He said, go! And I ran into the men's room and released the most violent shit of my life.
Now he took pity on him. He's so lucky.
I thought he was going to poop like right then and there in the restaurant.
Like, or on her lap, like leaving, unopened restaurant. Jumping over her lap. Like right, it just falls down onto her.
Oh, God.
A rain of diarrhea.
Oh, God.
As he escapes the taxi.
Oh, God. That was not a banner day for me. And ever since then, I have been horrifically afraid of shitting my pants. Yeah, no joke.
And everyone knows it happened because you literally stopped the cab in the middle of the drive where you were going
to
your
destination. And then ran away. Like, ran so fast away.
I know. I'm like, did they wait? Were they like, how long do we give it? How long did it take? Yeah. I'm so curious for, like, the, you know, what happens after. I always want to know what happens after.
Same.
You know?
Well, I also have to shout out to the man in the restaurant who, you know, this was like the act of a good person, the kindness of a stranger to say, go.
Because he knows you're going to blow up that bathroom. It's going to be stanky, and I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah, violent.
They got to work out there now.
They got to work.
With your stank wafting its way to their noses.
It's the worst part.
And they still let you. It's impressive.
It's impressive. It is.
Okay, so clearly I had to go back and explore that Facebook Fart Club page from last episode because,
oh my God.
Come on. I found
Gold
this
mine.
Gem in a comment from the last one, which is like maybe even better story than that one, which I was like, this is incredible.
Amazing.
I'm definitely going to be exploring this one more.
Yes, yes. You're going to join.
Okay, so this is, it looks like Pete the Riot, but I don't know if his name is like Thoreau or something. Thoreau? I don't know. It looks like the Riot. Anyway, he wrote, I had boarded the plane for a flight from Chicago to New Orleans. The night before, I went partying with some people from Wisconsin. Hey, Wisconsin.
Hey.
I have no memory of what I ate or I drank. The flight was light with passengers, and I was seated in approximately the 4th or 5th row from the start of coach. There was a man that sat in the window seat 2 rows up from myself. Suddenly, I felt the need to let one loose on the unexpecting passengers.
Yeah,
that's the worst
when
people fart on a plane. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. It's so bad.
It's recycled air.
It's
horrible. Like dropping, getting
so
sucked
bad.
Back up and dropping.
I was able to ease it out without any notice from the still unsuspecting passengers. Just about that time, I caught a whiff of the heavenly vapors.
Heavenly?
Heavenly vapors. I thought to myself, how am I going to maintain a straight face when this thing makes its presence known to those on board? Oh, this thing was traveling low and slow.
Oh, my God.
It was obviously heavier than air.
He put a tracker on his fart.
Suddenly, the man 2 rows in front of me decides it was not an enjoyable fragrance.
Oh, no.
It had crawled under the seats and exploded like an artillery shell.
Whoa.
It crawled up his nostrils and seemed to park there.
This is an alien fart.
He jumped up with the force of an Atlas rocket, crashing his head on the overhead baggage compartment, nearly knocking himself out.
Oh,
somehow, he seemed to have a weak stomach and began losing his breakfast. So his fart was so bad, it caused this guy to puke. What a mess he made.
This is crazy.
No, it's like a movie.
Did he barf on someone?
He was barfing everywhere. It smelled so bad. This guy dropped an artillery shell bomb of a fart that made this guy puke. What a mess he made. Now, to compound things, here comes a stewardess. She looked like she hit a brick wall and began coughing. She finally managed to ask, "What is that smell?" A woman on the other side of the aisle, with her hand over her nose and mouth, pointed to the guy losing his breakfast and said, "That man is very sick." So everybody assumes it's the guy that's puking.
So they blamed it on him and he's throwing up?
Because that's where the smell landed and the guy's puking. "I'm getting a faint taste of blood in my mouth from biting my jaw. In the meantime, the guy started trying to explain it wasn't him that shit or farted, but he failed to convince others while I sat there like the cat that's..."
This guy has barf in his mouth and he's like, "I didn't fart. It wasn't me."
But everybody thinks it's a shit because it smells so bad.
So they just think he farted and then made himself throw up with the smell of his own fart.
Or they think he shit his pants and now terrible. He's puking. Like, that guy has food poisoning.
That guy is very sick.
And puking over there.
Oh my God. And he's right behind him with his jaw clenched.
He's two rows behind him, just staying silent and trying not to draw any attention to himself.
Whoa.
He crept under the seat.
He's going to hell.
I just sat there like the cat that ate the canary. This is my most memorable and disgusting fart I ever unleashed upon others. I don't know what I would have done if that plane had been crowded. I would probably get arrested for biological terrorism these days.
Seriously. They're like,
like, "We need to shut this down. There's a bomb on board.
There's a bomb
there
on
is
board.
A sulfur bomb on board. It was so bad he made the guy puke, and then everybody thought that guy was just super sick.
The guy stands up, hits his head,
yes,
barfs everywhere, and yes, has to defend himself against a fart he
he's
did
like,
not
I didn't do
commit.
It.
He's like, "I will be damned." But he's got like barf all over his
but
body.
But how bad was that barf that fart to actually make the guy puke? Like, I mean, that's heinous.
I think that guy who's telling it is like, he's maybe sick. Like, he's gotta like shit. Get himself
what
checked out.
What died in your ass?
What
like,
died?
Get it together.
What did you eat? Oh my God.
Isn't
the cat
funny,
that
though?
Ate the canary.
I love, though, that he's just sitting like, doo, 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 doo.
He's
it
like looking
me.
Out the window and like at his like flight instructions. He's like putting his barf bag in and out of the, oh my God, so good.
It's so funny.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I think you hit a gold mine with that.
Yeah.
Facebook
page. Facebook Fart Club.
I might have to go there myself.
You got to go check it out.
I got to go look around. Okay, this is from Beth in Brooklyn, and she writes, "I was on a break from my boyfriend of 2 years, whose name was Matt. I wasn't feeling it, but I didn't want to let him go completely, so I suggested a break. My indecisiveness was mean, I know, and I've grown up a lot since. Matt loved me and was willing to take a break if it meant winning me over eventually. This sounds contrived, but on our break, I met another Matt. He was tall and charming, and after we exchanged numbers, we had a whirlwind few dates. We were together for 3 straight days, and by the end, I was certain I needed to break up with the other Matt. However, in a few days after our whirlwind date, I was sitting in a coffee shop near my house when I looked up, and to my horror, Matt number two was walking in with a cute blonde girl tucked under his arm. They were giggling, and she was whispering in his ear. I stood up. "Hey, Matt," I said loudly as my blood boiled. He turned, saw me, and I'm not kidding, grabbed the girl, and they ran out.
What? Wait, but is this
the one she had a little affair with.
This is the affair, Matt. Okay, that's what I was asking.
But, I mean, can you imagine? That's still so embarrassing because, like, you're it's something
new. They spent
new.
3 days together. She thought they had something.
Yeah. And then he's, like, dating someone else and, like, clearly. Oh,
but it's
so
only
sad.
3 days, so, like, they
only
probably weren't.
Right.
Probably weren't exclusive.
Right. They definitely weren't. They definitely didn't have a talk. So it was almost comical. She looked up so confused. Then I saw them jump into his parked convertible outside. She's looking into
that's
the window.
That's his wife. That's why.
Yeah. She's like, huh?
Yeah.
And the entire time she was looking at me through the window, and he sped away. Before I even collected myself, I sat down and immediately texted Matt. "You slept with me for 3 days straight, stayed naked for 72 hours, told me everything about yourself, cuddled me when I cried about having kids someday, and took me bowling. And the whole time you were dating someone else?" I sent it without thinking and just tried to concentrate on what I'd been doing. A few minutes later, I got a text back that says, "Beth, What are you talking about? It was from my old boyfriend,
yeah,
Matt.
Dumb. I knew where that was going. I was like,
ugh. She texted it. Like, how do you not put them in your phone separately?
Matt.
You text the guy.
But also, clearly, he left that quickly because of the girl he was with, not because of you. He doesn't care what you think. He was cheating on his girlfriend or wife, yeah, with you.
Disgusting.
I know. It's terrible.
So, yeah. So, I guess, so she said, I tried to play it off, but I'd hurt him so much. And a few hours later, he texted, I think this is over. Of course it was for the best, but I've regretted putting both guys on my phone as Matt ever since. You can have two Matts.
You can't have two Matts.
What are you, an idiot,
though?
You
gotta separate your Matts.
What are you? Are you an idiot? Like, you're gonna put Matt in your phone, your love of your life or whatever, that you've, someone you love.
And then you gotta at least put new Matt.
Random Matt. New Matt, old Matt. New Matt. new Matt. Oh. So bad. I bet that happens a lot, though.
Yeah. So the accidental text, it does.
Yeah.
Okay, my next one comes from Reddit, and Fit Huckleberry 1683 writes.
Fit Huckleberry.
So funny. I love it. Okay. I had a neighbor I was sleeping with for the summer. It was casual. We'd just hang out at my place and sleep together. We'd give each other shit jokingly. But one day, I guess she had a rough day at work. So texting me, and I made a joke. Nothing crazy, but she didn't take it well. So I stayed away from her for the next few months. I'm like, the next few months? What did you say? I'm like, it wasn't that bad. Why don't you say what it was then?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Probably he's really like, you're ugly.
He's like, yeah, you look like shit going to work today. Glad you didn't get fired.
Did you say that she got that pissed and was also like fine with you staying away from her for months? That's so weird. Anyway, one day I'm returning to my apartment and she's moving out. She asked me why we hadn't hung out. I offered to help her and her friend move, but she said they were pretty much done and she'd come over after. So she comes over, we hook up, and I took a shower. Well, while I'm showering, she unlocks my phone. I guess she saw me enter the password. Then she changed my Facebook profile pic to a dick pic that she'd taken.
Oh, your face. My God. Is amazing.
Then she left soon after I got out of the shower. Like 3 hours later, I got a text from a friend asking, you been on Facebook lately?
Oh, my God.
I rarely go on. He told me I should check it out, but didn't tell me why. I was mortified.
Oh, my God.
I deleted it and posted, for whoever saw that last post, I'm sorry. It was posted by a woman I was seeing. Then, to my horror, a bunch of my female friends replied that they'd seen the post. It was pretty awkward the first time I saw each one in real life. It's kind of funny now, but it took me some time to feel that way.
That lady is... What do you think of that lady?
I mean, that's fucked up.
That's like, fucked up.
Like, that's super fucked up to do to somebody.
She also slept with him before she did that.
Yeah.
She like...
Because she had to get the dick pic.
But
she was like, payback, motherfucker.
Wait, so while they're hooking up, she took a picture of his penis?
Yeah, she had a dick pic.
That's crazy.
I know. That's some crazy shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She cray-cray.
Well, she cray-cray. And I can't believe she planned that for 3 months.
I know. It's pretty psycho.
Played it off and was like, oh, where have you been? Okay, well, I'll come over afterwards.
Oh, why haven't we hung out?
And I took a picture of your dick and posted on Facebook. What did he say? What did he say to her that made her that mad?
I know.
Oh, she told
that's,
us.
I know. And hearing that part too, I'm like, what the fuck?
What could
did
it
you
be?
Say?
Also, I mean, I don't know. I don't think, honestly, I've ever had a casual hookup. Like, I mean, someone who was, like, repeatedly coming over and we're just, like, hooking up. But you gotta, like, you gotta say, like, hey, did I offend you? Like, sorry that I
But it's
hurt
not
your
like
feelings.
He cheated on her. So it's,
no,
like,
I mean,
even still, like, it's pretty fucked up.
You don't
up
hear
to
from
do.
Them for
It's pretty violating
3 months?
To post a dick pic.
Oh,
on their 100%. Page.
Oh, disgusting. So the next person we have is a caller. I've known her forever. I've known her since I was 18 years old. And she is also someone that has made me laugh. And she's just amazing. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what I'm able to say. But she's just a really special person. And she's really funny. And she can tell us an amazing story. So let's call her up. Let's call Amanda.
Hi.
This is Katie and Mary Kate for the Beat Red Podcast. Amanda, thank you so much for being here.
Hi. We're so excited to hear your story.
Hi. I think that this is the one that I brought before. Is it the one that I
You
was
told me a while ago, yes, in the okay. You texted me about it and I was like, oh, I got to call her, call her. This is like way back last summer or something.
Yes.
Do you remember it? Okay, good.
I do. Okay. I remember it. Do you want me to go right into
yes,
it?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I was at college in New York. This was very much pre-Me Too. and I wanted to be an actress. And I was...
You are an actress. Don't you worry about it.
Totally. I was in school for the theater.
I went to
NYU. I was sort of trying to find my... Well, You don't have to give away the school.
I'm going to freaking out you. Just kidding.
And I knew, I saw graduation upon the horizon, and I knew to make something happen and quick, or else I was going to be destined to be a waiter. And so I'm going to make myself sound totally awful in this story.
Okay.
But I was at a club. Mm-hmm. I was at the club.
The club.
And I met this sort of nebbishy guy who said he was a producer. And of course, as a nascent actress, that's what you want to hear.
Yes.
And he told me all the things. I'll make you this. I'll make you that. I'll do this.
I'll make you a star, baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not coming off as a jerk in this. Like, this guy's a jerk.
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet.
So it turns out, like, in the end, the person that was his directing partner in his production company is now in jail for months of sexual assault. Sort of laying a little piece of bait there for
Damn.
You. Anyways.
So, I like how you started with this is pre-Me Too, because he got Me Too'd, whoever that was.
Oh, yeah. Go on. For sure. And the behavior that I exhibited also by going out on a date with him where I had zero interest but wanted movies, yes, was not necessarily, if I had a daughter, things that I would tell her to do.
Right. Of course.
But I saw an opportunity. He told me, this guy, this producer guy, that he would do all these things for me. And there wasn't really like a spoken, if you do this. But it was like, so let's go out to dinner and discuss it. So I decided to go out on this dinner with him, but knowing that it was in his mind, probably a date. It was not in my mind. It was sort of like a networking meeting, which is where the mistake was. But anyways.
No, you're like, I'm going to leave him wanting more.
First thing he did at the beginning of the date was hand me some Molly. You know.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I mean, I'm in my early 20s.
Yeah.
I'm handed Molly. It's free.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it.
You did.
So I took it, not thinking about the possible repercussions.
As you do.
As you do. Early 20s.
But we went out to this very fancy dinner and sort of chitty-chatted about my future career being, you know, the next Gwyneth Paltrow. And it started to kick in.
Okay.
For me, that meant, I was like, you know what? I think that we should go maybe back to your place. Like, I'm not feeling so great. I think this was an opportunity for him. He thought maybe I was just ready to get down.
He's like, we're gonna make this happen.
He's like, yes, please.
I'm like, no, I'm just, I didn't lead on what was going on, but I just was feeling extremely ill. And so we get back to his place and I'm like, will you excuse me for a moment, being in my most Gwyneth Paltrow-y state? And
you did Gwyneth Paltrow from Great Expectations.
Yes, exactly. I walked very delicately to the bathroom and took a huge explosive diarrhea.
So demure.
So I took the huge diarrhea. And then after the diarrhea, I proceeded to vomit for probably about 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
Into the same receptacle.
No.
And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, it's okay. Just powdering my nose. And then after a bit of time, when I felt a little bit better, I flushed the toilet and I flushed it again and I flushed it again.
No.
It still wouldn't go down. Mm-mm. And I flushed it again.
Is this your first time trying to flush? So you did not flush the diarrhea before you started puking on it? Just want to be clear on that.
It was very rapid succession.
Okay.
Don't just shame me.
No, okay. Not shaming. Not shaming at all. Just like the details. I love the details. So like, it's worse.
It was like an alternate. It was alternate. Like, shit, Shit barf.
The old shit barf pattern. Yeah.
So then the last time I flushed, it did flush, but then the toilet slowly started filling up.
No.
To that level where you're like, oh God.
The worst.
This could go down, but this also could continue to go up. And unfortunately, it continued to go up.
No.
And it started flooding the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And then it started seeping out the bathroom and going into the rest of the apartment.
No.
And it kept going and going.
Oh my God.
And going. And needless to say, I never became Gwyneth Paltrow. And the director's in jail. And I don't know what happened to the producer, but I definitely got shit because I ruined his bath mat. He was like, you need to buy afterwards, post of this event. He was so pissed about the bath mat that was under the deluge of vomit and shit.
Oh my God.
That he asked me to reimburse him.
What the hell? And you didn't, right? You said no.
He gave you Molly. It was his fault.
Also, with this, it's a bath mat, dude. Go to the Bed Bath & Beyond. Come on. Get out of here. Next.
Yeah, it was at the peak Bed Bath & Beyond time too, as well.
It wasn't like
you had to order it.
Did it also ruin his couch and Persian rug in the other room?
Oh my God. Did he like, was he,
it was
it,
very
was, like,
much a bachelor pad. So there was not like a ton of furniture.
That's so
it was
funny
mostly the bath mat that he was very concerned about.
That's horrifying.
That's horrifying.
But what did you do?
Buy him a new bath mat.
What did you do?
I bought him a new bath mat.
You did? She bought him a new bath mat.
No, but did you open the door? Like, what'd you do when it started flooding?
I opened the door and I ran home.
I love
didn't
that.
Say goodbye.
She ran.
I just left.
So you just, he just sees you take off, get out the door and run. And then he sees like the water flooding onto his leather, leather boots.
I think he kind of put two and two together once the number two was coming out his door.
That is so amazing.
Oh my God, you are the best. I have to say, you very demurely told that story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was fantastic.
You came through. That was pretty amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda. Now go enjoy your day. I'm so glad to hear your voice. Love you too. All right, we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Amanda came through.
I could never have told that story. She was like, you can just tell it. I was like,
no. It's
you
always
have
best
to
hear
it
from the person it happened to.
I didn't even know the whole story. She just wrote me a little text like last summer about it. Like, oh, I overflowed this guy's toilet.
That's a great story.
Anything. So good.
So my last two stories are short ones. I found them from Cup of Joe blog and I thought they were funny. So here we go. Yay. The first one, Megan writes, this may be TMI, but I still cringe thinking about it. As a freshman in high school, I still wasn't comfortable wearing tampons, so I opted for those huge thick pads that my mom stocked in the bathroom cabinet.
Aww.
Yeah, those are
so cute.
Those are never fun. I was on the soccer team, and we were warming up before a home game, running laps around the field. Right as we passed the opposing team who had just arrived and were putting their cleats on the grass, my bloody pad fell out of my underwear and stuck to the shoe of the girl running behind me. She rightfully flipped out, screamed, and high-kicked the pad as far as she could, and it landed smack dab in the middle of the opposing team. Everyone was screaming. I was panicking, and I literally just sprinted away and spent the rest of the game in the locker room. It was grim, LOL.
Oh, my God. That is humiliating. That is a really embarrassing story.
In the middle of soccer
you're like
game.
Hustling it up. I thought that, but like, how does it unstick from your underwear?
That happens all the time. She's running in a freaking soccer game. She's kicking all around.
This girl steps on it, kicks it. It flies.
You can't trust
the air,
a pad playing soccer.
And then
you can't trust that.
And then you.
That's why tampons were invented.
That's why they were invented.
For soccer.
For soccer.
But that is so horrible.
Oh my God.
There's nothing
awful.
More embarrassing. I mean,
I don't think
it's stuck to a shoe. Everyone's screaming and freaking out, and there's a bloody pad just flung across it. You know, you did.
You did it. And then, oh man, if I were your parent, if I was there, I would go back and get you and be like, we got to go.
We got to get the fuck out of here. Okay, this next one's from Danielle, and she writes, I was wearing my favorite vintage wrap skirt and I was returning a very heavy stack of books to the library. I was really struggling with the stack of books, and fortunately the section for the counter for returns was shorter than the rest of the counter. It was only waist high. Unfortunately, unbeknownst to me, the tie from my skirt was caught under the stack of books. So when I slid them onto the counter as I walked away, my skirt was unwrapped and I was left standing in the library lobby in my underwear.
No, that's so embarrassing. Oh,
the wrapped dress or the wrapped skirt. It was just a skirt. Yeah. So she just she's like struggling with her books and she shoves them up there and she turs around and she's freaking naked.
She hasn't got her underwear exposed.
So embarrassing.
That's so bad. Those flyaway skirts are, they are so, they do that all the time.
They're easy to come apart.
Yeah. I've made a bunch of those, actually. I've, like, sewed a bunch of those, and they've
Be careful.
they've all done that.
Have you had that happen where it actually came out in public?
Yeah.
When you're just standing in your underwear?
Yeah, and it flies down like it's a parachute. And you're like, oh, my God. And then you try to wrap it. Or it's wrapped and exposing your butt on the back. Like, don't wrap it right. And then it's just like, oh, my God, you feel a stiff breeze and people can see your butt, see your undies. Oh, either way, it's embarrassing.
Either way.
That is embarrassing.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.